So please have your Bibles open at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll be starting to read from verse 8. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought to life and immortality, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Jesus Christ. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us.
We shall continue our study on the book of 2 Timothy. So will you please open your Bibles with me to that book. And the title of our sermon today, actually a two-part sermon. Today is part one, and next Sunday will be part two. We have 5 points. We'll discuss 2 points today and 3 points next Sunday. So the title of our sermon is Protect God's Gospel Truth. Protect God's Gospel Truth. And the focus of our study is 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 through 14. The Word of God tells us these words. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which, but what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage which we have just read. I pray, Lord, that as you challenge us, that we should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that we will take heed. Because we are in such a society and an age that it's easy to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I pray that you strengthen us. I pray that you give us courage. And I pray, Lord, as we do that, we will glorify your name. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. As one who has suffered for many years for the Lord Jesus Christ. On, brother? Yep. Sorry about that. Thank you. One pastor said this: friendship with Jesus is costly. Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. It is always accompanied by great sacrifices for Christ's sake. Dearly beloved, what we have here before us is a passage that clearly defines that. As a Christian, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we be true to what Christ has given to us in his word, to not be ashamed of him, of his testimony, even of his very own messenger, then we must be prepared for great sacrifices for His name's sake. We need to protect God's gospel truth. And this passage here gives us five vital ways on how to protect God's gospel truth. The first two we will discuss this morning. And the first one is here in verse number 8, where Paul encourages Timothy, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." That's the first way, vital way, on how to protect the gospel of truth. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. This was a warning from the Apostle Paul. The mode of expression here in the phrase that Apostle Paul used offers clear evidence that Timothy at this point was not at fault along this line, that he was ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But most probably, Paul saw something in this young pastor Timothy that he in the future might be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here, the words written in the original Greek actually is in what you call in a aorist term or sense. The connotation is, don't start being ashamed. That's the words here of the Apostle Paul. Don't start. Timothy tells Timothy and tells us today, do not start becoming ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And of course, he refers here to the Lord Jesus Christ. He warns him there at that specific area. Now, you notice, of course, that in verse number 8, it starts with the word therefore. Therefore, in other words, dearly beloved, the encouragement of the Apostle Paul here, the warning of the Apostle Paul here to Timothy that he should not start becoming ashamed of the gospel of Christ is in light with what he said before this. What did he say before verse number 8? Well, he emphasized that Paul has genuine faith. In verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. At the same time, Paul also highlights the gift that the Holy Spirit gave to Timothy. Therefore, in verse number 6, he says, I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. But thirdly as well, Paul reminded Timothy that God has not given him a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. In other words, in light of these three things, these three blessings, and compounded with that, with Paul praying for Timothy. He prays for Timothy day and night, and he tells Timothy, he warns Timothy, Timothy, do not start being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now, testimony here is a word for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So being ashamed of the testimony or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a vital step in protecting God's gospel truth, whether you're a pastor or not. Whether you are clergy, you are a full-time minister of the word of God, or you're a deacon or a church leader or not. You may just be a student or maybe a worker somewhere, but the encouragement here is not just for Timothy. God gave us this word and he wants us to take heed, to be warned. We should not start to be ashamed of the testimony or of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you start, there will be a spiraling down of your Christian life. It will be such a challenge to stand back up. Of course, with the grace of God, you will be. If you're saved, the grace of God is there to help you. The Spirit of God will empower you. But dearly beloved, don't start. Don't start there. Do not start to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Christian for only a year or two, or for 5 years, for 20 years, or 30 years, there is never a good place to start being ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible clearly defines what is the gospel. You may ask, what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should not be ashamed of? Well, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. And in his writing there, towards the end of this letter to the Corinthian believers, he declared to them the gospel which he preached to them. Look at verses 1 to 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you." By the way, the gospel, evangelion, means good news. Good news. And this is why it's good news, because he says, "This is the thing that I receive, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Here it is. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And the word of God here continues that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. In other words, this is a true historical event. The resurrection is a true historical event. It happened because there are many witnesses who saw Jesus Christ post-resurrection. So dearly beloved, in a nugget, that is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. But the important key word here in relationship to us is that he died for our sins. He didn't die for his sins. He's a son of God. He's a perfect man. He came to be propitiation for us. He came who knew no sin to be sin for us. He came who was rich. He became poor so that we who are poor will become rich. That is the gospel. And Paul tells Timothy, and he tells us today, never be ashamed of that. So the gospel, dearly beloved, is wrapped up in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially pertaining to our salvation. Now, if you're here this morning, and you may probably say, "I am not really understanding this, Pastor. What does this mean to me?" Well, if you haven't yet trusted Christ as your Savior, this should mean a lot to you. Because first you must understand that you're a sinner, friend. You're a sinner. All of us are sinners. You were born a sinner. I was born a sinner. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," says the word of God. Now, one of the most basic tenets now of our society is saying, "No, you're good. Everybody has a good innate character." I'm telling you now, my friend, that is not what the Bible says. "There is none righteous," says the word of God. "No, not one." So even if you say, "Oh, maybe I am exception. You know, I'm a good guy. I'm a good woman. I'm the exception to the rule." No, the Bible says not even one. Not even one. You cannot find any righteous man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's who you are. That's who I was. But Christ died for my sins. And all I need to do is to call upon the name of the Lord, because he says he will save me. He died for my sins on the cross. He was buried, says Corinthians 15. He rose again the third day. And if I trust him, I believe in him, that what he did on the cross was for me. Because I cannot do anything to save myself, not by works of righteousness which I have done. I could not boast with any good works. But if I come to the Lord and say, "Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, cleanse me." The word of God says he is true to his promise, will save you. If you haven't done that this morning, if you haven't done that in your life yet, oh dear friend, I hope that you will do today. You will do today. That's the challenge of the gospel. That you must believe the gospel. So Paul tells Timothy, and he warns us today, that we should not be ashamed of the testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word not ashamed, going back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, appears actually four times in this specific book. But when you look at the Greek words, the first three are the same Greek words. The fourth one is not. The same English words, shamed, but the basic Greek word is not. But the first three, which appears here in verse number 8, then in verse number 12, when Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed," that's our same word there. And then another appearance in verse number 16, when Paul says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed." That those three appearances of not ashamed is the same Greek word, which simply means to feel shame for something. To feel shame for something. We feel shame of the gospel of Christ when we are embarrassed by it. We feel shame for the gospel of Christ when we are reluctant to tell others about it. Because you're thinking, if I'm going to speak up, if I'm going to tell them, it might spoil the moment. It might destroy my relationship with them. It might create some kind of a friction between me and them. I don't want that. I want it to just be still, you know, and I want to have this smooth sailing relationship with these persons, with my family. Dearly beloved, that's being ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We feel shame of the gospel of Christ when we are hesitant to correct the wrong notions that people say. You know, when we have discussions maybe over tea, over cuppa, over lunch, or maybe just a simple conversation with a neighbor and they say something to the effect of, "Oh yeah, you know, we're the same. You know, we're all going to heaven." Even if you know that he or she does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't correct that, that's shame. You feel shame for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We feel shame of the gospel of Christ when we are sorry about its implications. Because you know, it will offend. And so you don't say anything because you might offend them. But listen, dearly beloved, when the gospel offends not you. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I take this as an amen. We feel shame of the gospel of Christ when we are willing to make changes to its message so it becomes palatable to people. Palatable. One pastor said, "Today we have sanitized Jesus and disinfected the cross, making it all safe. Making it all friendly, if I may add. Making it all so nice and cuddly and loving as what the world looks at it as loving." But the beloved Paul warns Timothy because there was a tendency for him to do that. And Timothy, a pastor, a disciple of Paul, has a tendency. How much more you and I today? That's why Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. If we are not careful, dearly beloved, our enemies, the flesh, the world, Satan, can victoriously tempt us to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, especially in the society we live in this age that we live in. Our society says, man is naturally good. Don't teach him. Don't mar who he is. Just let him be. He will discover his way because he is good. He will discover the right way. Well, dearly beloved, the gospel says we are all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. And if you don't open the word of God, you don't hear the blessing of the word of God, you will never find salvation. If you just look into yourself, you'll see the sinfulness of man there. There's nothing good. The truth is not in us. It's in the Word. So yes, this could be hard, especially when you're talking and people say, oh, this man is good. It's like, what will you say? Our society also says, man's good work is enough. Now, so you go to church, as long as you go to church, as long as you don't hurt anybody. I heard of a news. I don't know why it's being put in the news nowadays. Back in the Philippines, that there's two guys who met in the Middle East, and they now back in the Philippines, and it's now in the news that they are together. And so, even though they're not allowed by law in the Philippines to get married, as long as they don't hurt anybody, it's okay. They consider themselves married and they adopted a child. The gospel says our good works are just like filthy rags. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our society says also that there are many ways to salvation. Many ways. Many ways to God. Many ways to heaven. Your way might be different than my way, but hey! If you're serious, if you're committed, if you're wholehearted, if you're devoted, we're going there together. I'm going to see you there. Is that what the gospel says? Is that what the Bible says? Dearly beloved, no. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has an exclusive claim. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. Again, you may say, I'm an exception. No, no man, no one can come to the Father but by me. There is no mediator between God and man. Only Christ Jesus. Salvation is only through Christ. Not through Mary. Not through religion. Not through following the tenets of Buddhism. Not converting to Islam. Not following a certain religious group. Not following the different commands of a certain spiritual leader. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Exclusive claim. And this is really what it hits the most, because this is really rampant everywhere you go nowadays. That we can just be united. That we can be friends. Yes, we can be friends. But when we talk about the gospel, and they say that we are one and all of us can go to heaven in the name of friendship? No. That is contrary to the word of God. And also, our society says you can be a Christian even if you can supply the words, even if you are married to a fellow woman, even if you're married to a fellow man, even if you're doing this or you're doing that. But is that what the gospel says? Is that what the Bible says? Well, let's look at what John says in Revelation 21, the very end of the word of God there, the very last book of the word of God, Revelation 21, verse number 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you see there that John says, or even though you're like this today, you're going to heaven? No. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which I just read at the beginning of the service. Let's go back to the list. Didn't Paul say that neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexual, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God?
That's so clear. None of this can enter the kingdom of God. None of this can inherit the kingdom of God. That's why you must be changed. That's why Paul continues, and such were some of you. You were that before. You're no longer that before. Why? Because you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So dearly beloved, you're no longer this, but now you are a saint. Because that's what it says there. That's the same word. Sanctified there is the same word as saint. Only a saint can enter the kingdom of God. But sainthood, not on the perspective of any religion here today, perspective of the Word of God. You're a saint when you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. So, dearly beloved, what will your response be if our society tells us all of these man-made tenets? But you know that clearly the Word of God contradicts all of this. What will you do? Well, Paul tells us today, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul says he was never ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because he knows that's the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and then unto the Greeks. And even here in verse number 12, if you go back to our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, verse number 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Paul was never ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, there is a warning. There is a warning if we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is a warning for those who deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a warning for those who will deny the truths of the Word of God. What did God say in Matthew chapter number 10? What did He warn us about? If you deny me before men, what will God do? Dearly beloved, that's staggering. That's staggering. Would we rather choose to be okay before people and be ashamed of the gospel of Christ so we'll look good there? There's a warning that someday there will be a great shame if we do this today. But notice, if you go back, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, to our passage. As we read further down, we see that the warning is not only being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also of the messenger of Christ. Because Paul says, nor of me his prisoner. Dearly beloved, there is a danger of being ashamed of Christ's message and Christ's messenger. Because they go together, don't they? The message and the messenger. So Paul here warns Timothy about that too. Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and also don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is staggering to note that Paul also saw this in Timothy. And this may be also found in us if we're not careful to be ashamed of the prisoner of Christ. Now, Paul, we know, was imprisoned for one reason and one reason alone. Because of his faith in Christ. He was not guilty of any law. In fact, the Roman government, you read this in the book of Acts, did not know what to do with him. In fact, when he appealed to appear before Caesar, one of the high positioned men said, "Oh, if you did not do that, we could have released you. Why did you need to do that?" But they kept him for 2 years because we know from the word of God, they want to appease the Jews because the Jews wanted to kill him. But they can't kill him because he's not guilty of death. So we know, dearly beloved, that Paul wasn't guilty of any crime. He was imprisoned for his commitment to the cross of Christ. And he wrote about that in many points. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. He says this to the Ephesian believers, for this reason, Christ as our cornerstone, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for you Gentiles. He got imprisoned because he stood on the truth that Christ is our chief cornerstone. And he also wrote in another passage in Philippians, when he wrote to the Philippian believers, chapter 1, 12 to 14. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's talking about his imprisonment. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, dearly beloved, Paul wasn't imprisoned because of certain crime that he did, or some lawlessness that he did. It was because of Christ. Is because of his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he tells Timothy, Timothy, do not be ashamed of me. I remind you, Timothy, I'm not here in prison because I did something wrong. I am here because I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be ashamed of the message, but don't be ashamed as well of the messenger. It was 1923. And the new communist government of Russia had launched the so-called Living Church, which was nothing more than socialism disguised as Christianity. Pastor Sergei Mekin flatly refused to read the prescribed prayers or preach the watered-down idea of God that the communists approved. He continued preaching the truth to his flock, knowing that he might suffer for it. He said, Christianity is not a teaching that one can get from books or sermons. He said, Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is a specific kind of life that you attain by following Christ's example. Because of that, he was imprisoned for 5 years. And the communists closed his church. But his time in prison only prepared Sergei more fully for ministry. Immediately upon his release, he resumed his work with the underground church. He faithfully ministered long hours each day until his former pastor, a man who turned his back on God, betrayed him. The government rewarded that pastor with a job as a professor. Sergei resolved to never betray his brethren. For his steadfast Christian activities, Pastor Sergei Mekin was executed by a firing squad in 1941. His life passed, but his message remains. The truth does not change to benefit one's needs. That was the Apostle Paul. He was never ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he encouraged Timothy to not be ashamed as well, but also not to be ashamed of the prisoner of Christ. Now I know, dearly beloved, I have ministered to the prisons in the Philippines. And I confess, when you go there, there's a certain part of me that you don't want to be. To my shame, you know, you don't want to be connected with these people. Because, well, they're prisoners, you know. But God corrected my heart. Because when I started to minister there and met brothers who were there, yes, Most of them confessed that they did commit sin. Some of them said that they were not guilty, shared their stories to me. But right there, God was doing a mighty work. At every Tuesday morning when I would go there with another older man, they would be so passionate with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that even though they're made fun of by other inmates, they would always go there to attend our Bible study, singing and prayer time. And you know what? They're the best singers in the world. Ask them to sing a hymn, they sing from the top of their lungs, like as if there's no tomorrow. And they will sit down there, and I will preach for as long as I could, as the time would be given to me, and they will just be all eyes. They will be jotting down notes. And when I'm done, and they would say, Pastor, that was it. Oh, we would love for you to stay for the whole day and listen. Listen to the Word of God. Praise the Lord that some of them, when they got out, they went to churches nearby, and they now continue to serve the Lord. And many of them were also not received by their families. Because when they got out of prison, they were changed men. You know, and they could no longer provide the lifestyle that they were providing in their family when they were still drug lords. You know, and then now they're Christians, they're going to this church. And one of them went to Dongapi Church one time. I almost did not recognize him. Because he wasn't wearing the orange clothes anymore. But he good morning, how are you? Pastor, it's me. Sorry, who are you again? It's me. And he mentioned his name. Oh, wow, you're here. When did you get out? I had a wonderful fellowship, wonderful lunch with that brother in the Lord. But that man was being used by God for the gospel. Now, to his friends, the drug lords. But they are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we must never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ too, and the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we hear stories of brothers and sisters who are imprisoned. I hope we will never spurn on them. We will never look down on them. They're there because of their faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, we must support them, pray for them, encourage them as we could. Really, beloved, we should never be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and of the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first vital way on how to protect God's gospel truth. But the second, Paul continues with his words, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Second way on how to protect God's gospel truth is to share in the sufferings for the gospel. Sharing in the suffering for the gospel is another step in protecting God's gospel truth. These words, share with me in the sufferings, interestingly, is just one compound Greek word in the original language, which is an active imperative mode. In other words, this is a direct, strong command. A direct, strong command. Ongoing command. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a command that goes on even until today. Paul was charging Timothy and is charging us today to suffer together with him for the sake of the gospel. Now, I want to remind you again that his suffering here is not because of any sin or any iniquity that he has done. First Peter reminds us of this, that if we suffer, we must suffer not because of some lawless deed, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, 14 through 15. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. In other words, like Paul, if you're in prison because you have stood in the name of Christ, have defended the faith, you are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But Let none of you suffer as a murderer. Let none of you suffer as a thief. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Dearly beloved, if you're suffering because of the gospel of Christ, blessed are you. Praise the Lord for your life. And yes, you have the encouragement from the body of Christ. You have the support of the body of Christ. But listen, if you're suffering because you stole, because you lied, there's no encouragement for you. But the encouragement to repent. The encouragement to repent. So Paul here says in 2 Timothy, again, going back to the passage, share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Dearly beloved, that's the call of the Apostle Paul to all of us here. We must boldly preach the gospel, and if suffering goes with that, then share with the suffering. Share with the opportunity to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul says that his deep desire was in Philippians chapter 3 verse number 10? When he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, Paul says, I want to share with that sufferings. I don't want to live the Christian life easily. If I'm privileged to suffer for Christ, I want to be there. I want to be a part of that. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, he's not just after for the blessings, for the good old days, for the mountaintop experiences, for the heavenly joyful opportunities. But he also wants to be there as we should on the times when we must suffer for Christ. When people will revile us. When people will speak bad things about us because of our faith, we must share with the sufferings. In fact, further on here, back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 or chapter 3, verse number 12, Paul says, yes, and all who desire to live godly, if you desire to live godly in Christ, you will suffer persecution. Now that made me stop. Because if I'm not suffering, am I really living godly? Because it says here, yes. There's a big yes here. Yes, and all. There's no exception. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. If you desire a godly life, expect suffering. It will come. It will come. But if you ask, why am I not suffering? Maybe they're still lacking on the desire. Maybe they're still lacking on the godliness in us. In Sudan, Pastor Jeremiah Lugara never knew resignation. Only determination. The Muslim soldiers one day had arrested 6 boys from his church and falsely accused them of being spies. Now, he tried explaining to them that the boys were Christians, not spies. The soldiers decided then to arrest him too. The Islamic soldiers tied his arms and legs together and hung him 4 feet in the air with a rope. They whipped him and dripped hot, melted wax on his chest. He recalled the prayer of Jesus in the garden. He prayed, "Oh God, if it is your will for me to die today, let it be done." He could not bear that he might give in to the tortures of the northern Sudanese Arabs as he stood before the young impressionable boys. But God's will was that he live on as a testimony for these boys. He was released, but the boys were detained. He imagines the boys were probably being forced to train as soldiers. But reflecting upon that incident, Pastor Jeremiah said, "I thought of Jesus' death that Jesus died to save the whole world. I thought my death could be part of the salvation of these boys as I followed in the footsteps of my Lord. I pray my example of suffering for them will encourage them to remain faithful to God. Oh, dearly beloved, if we are called to suffer for Christ, we must share. We must put in our share. Suffering for Christ, dearly beloved, is not a thing in the past. We are so protected here in our country. We're so blessed here in our country that we don't share all the sufferings that some of our brothers and sisters are deeply suffering in other countries. We don't. And sometimes the reality is even the slightest of discomfort, we don't want to even share with. The slightest of discomfort. It's not even suffering it. It's just discomfort. But we fail to share with the sufferings for the gospel. Oh, dearly beloved, we are reminded here then we need the power of God. Because Paul continues here, share with me the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. You see, if we just depend on ourselves, if we just depend on our courage, on our bravery, we will always cower under the shadows. But we must ask for the power of God to rest upon us so we could courageously face any discomfort or any degree of suffering. And when we suffer for the gospel according to the power of God, you know what? There is a deeper joy. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul wrote to the Philippian believers, yes, and they were also being persecuted. And he says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. If we share with the suffering of the gospel, for the gospel according to the power of God, we have a deeper joy. We consider it a joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul used the word here, I am glad and rejoice with you all, even though he was writing this letter from the prison. Now this was a fickle kind of like joy or happiness. This was a deep joy knowing that he indeed is being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice of service for not just his faith, but for the faith of others. He's being used by God to be an encouragement to others, and that brings joy to his heart. But also, if we suffer, when we suffer for the gospel according to the power of God, not only that we will have a deeper joy that none can ever understand, but also there is a deeper contentment. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. 6 verses 4 to 10. 2 Corinthians 6. 4 to 10. But in all things, Paul says, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. What do we see here in this passage, dearly beloved? Paul and many of his companions were suffering. He enumerated here all the things that they have gone through. But at the end of it all, he says, yet making many rich, they have nothing, and yet possessing all things. What do you hear there? A deep contentment in life. Where he can say, it is well with my soul. Sometimes we have no contentment in abundance. You know where we find contentment sometimes? In suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, when we suffer for the gospel according to the power of God, not only that we will have a deeper joy, we'll have a deeper contentment, but there is also a deeper perspective. Look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. What perspective will we have? So they departed from the presence of the council. After that, they have been persecuted here and questioned here. Rejoicing that what? That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were not focused with the whipping, with the questioning, with the imprisonment, with all of the sufferings they have gone through. No. What the heart focus was this. I was counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. That was the perspective. Yes, they're hurting me, but this is a privilege to suffer for my Lord. Dearly beloved, we can only do this if we suffer for the gospel according to the power of God. We cannot depend on our strength. Again, we are cowards. We are cowards when we depend on our own strength. But we have the power of God. We can indeed share the suffering for the glory of Christ. A note from a Jewish child was found in the rubble of a Jewish ghetto in Poland after it was bombed by the Nazis. You know what this little child wrote on this note that was found on the street? It was a prayer. And this little prayer said this: God, I do not ask You to make my life easy. I do ask You to make me strong. Maybe that's our prayer today. Lord, I don't ask for an easy life. But I ask, make me strong. So that we can stand and not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all these prisoners. And that we can share with the sufferings for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dearly beloved, may God work in our hearts today and send us deep spiritual applications of this truth in our lives. Whoever you are, whatever you do, wherever you are in your spiritual life, it is my prayer that the Lord will show you where to apply this today. Oh Lord, we confess our sins. We confess that sometimes, oh Lord, we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be bold, unashamed, courageous. I pray, Lord, that our testimonies of the saving grace of Christ in our lives will always be in our mouths. And that we will never cower under the shadow of our fear when we are given the privilege to declare Your gospel. Empower us, dear Lord. And now may the love of God the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us now and forevermore. Amen.